Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. You can be seated. Did I get this on? I think I did. Okay, I just want you to know that heaven recorded who stood up. I'm just messing with you guys. I was sitting there, and I don't know why I was thinking about this, but I had Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce in Waco, Texas. Anybody know anything about Waco? See, I was in Waco for 15 years and raised up and led an apostolic center there. And people say, why did you leave Waco? I said, because they burnt my compound down and I had to leave. I can always tell how religious a crowd is by how they laugh or not with that one. Anyway, so I after I left, I went back to Waco and had a conference. And some guys helped me put it on down there. And we had Dutch and Chuck come to be the speakers. And so this was, I won't tell you everything about the situation, but Dutch, I got up and I introduced Dutch, and he came up on the platform in the church that I had led there. And the moment he stepped up, he just started in kind of greeting people like this. And all of a sudden, I hear this voice. I'm sitting on the edge of the seat, and I hear this guy coming down the aisle prophesying to Dutch. And he's not prophesying good. And I'm aware of who this guy is because I'd already seen him and knew he was there and knew what the potential was. So I was a little bit on guard. So he's coming down the aisle at Dutch, 1,500-seat auditorium, coming down the aisle at Dutch with his finger pointed at Dutch, prophesying something. I don't know what he was saying, but I knew it wasn't good. And so he gets, you know, there, and I just turn and jump out of the aisle, and I'm standing here. And as he's coming down, I said, stop! He kept coming. Now, you got to understand, this guy is 6'5", about 260. He's a big guy. He's coming, and he's prophesying the whole way down. And I said, stop! He keeps coming. He gets right there, and I do what I just impulse. I say, stop! And I hit him in the chest. This is going on for everybody. Suddenly, here are two of my guys, and they grab him, and they're dragging him out the back door. When that all happens, just like that, Dutch is standing here, just standing here, watching it all. When he gets through, he said, you know, I really feel at peace about right now. And that's about all he said. It went on. Well, the next morning, Chuck gets up to minister. I get up, I introduce Chuck. Chuck stands up. He said, man. He said, I called my brother last night after the service and told him, we went to church and a brawl broke out. I don't know why I thought about that tonight. Because it was like at the moment I didn't know what else to do, so I just did what came natural. I wish I'd have known Kung Fu or something, you know. But anyway, all right, well, tonight what I want to do is I want to talk to you about the prophetic and how it relates into the courts of heaven. I mentioned it a little bit this afternoon, I think that's when it was, or maybe last night in the session. But I wanted to say that God wants to bring the prophetic to a new dimension. I mean, that's actually, he wants to bring every gifting to a new dimension. But he wants to, I really believe we need the prophetic to go to new levels so that we can accomplish the things that need to be accomplished. So I'm going to start off by reading Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. And it says, John is having an encounter with something he calls a man, someone he calls a man. And usually, I want to say this, we think that this individual is an angel. But I want to show you what I consider a different point of view. It says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. This is the man that's come to show him things. And he said to me, see that you do not do that. Watch what he says. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Do you understand angels do not have the testimony of Jesus? Do you understand that? That literally they desire to look into the things that we have access into, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. So they don't have the testimony. They don't need to be redeemed. You know, if they're in heaven, they didn't fall. There's a group of them that did, but these didn't fall. So they don't need the testimony of Jesus. And watch what else he says. He said, I am of your fellow servants. And so he's saying, I'm just like you. So this man that is revealing these things to John is actually of human origin. That would mean he's a part of the cloud of witnesses, because they're the only humans that are in heaven. Are you getting this? I want you, here's my point about that. My point is, this man without this flesh is so glorious that John falls to worship him. The point I'm trying to make is this. You don't know who you really are. You don't know what's on the inside of you. We don't know the glory that we actually contain, that this veil called flesh is hiding. Because when the veil of this flesh was taken away, and this person is in heaven, he is so full of glory that John the Apostle is compelled to worship him. Are you getting this? I can see you looking at me. He said, what are you talking about? I'm saying the glory of God that is in us is far greater than what we realize at times. And the only thing that's stopping it from full manifestation is the veil of this flesh that gets in the way of it. You see, one of our biggest problems, yes? Yeah. Car alarm going off if you can't hear him. Someone go turn your car alarm off. Okay, so the veil of this flesh is taken out of the way. The glory of God is being made manifest through him, to the point that John falls to worship him. I mean, I'm thinking, wow, what must we look like really in heaven? What must we look like? See, you guys are looking at me because, and I can see it in your eyes in a strange way, because we have bought into the lie. See, let me explain to you. The Antichrist spirit, let me tell you what it does. It doesn't just diminish and deny who Jesus is. It diminishes and denies who we are in Jesus. If the devil can keep us convinced of our limitations and our insufficiency, we will never accomplish on the planet what God has called us to accomplish. Because the Antichrist spirit that is in the world today is not just denying the deity of Jesus, he is also denying us the place we are to have in Jesus and the place we're to function from. So we need a big renewal of the mind concerning who we are. Not just who Jesus is, but who we are in Jesus and who Jesus is in us. Because if we don't get that correct, we will never go after the things that God actually wants us to go after, because we'll never have enough faith to go there. Is that making sense to you? So I wanted to explain that there in verse 10. But then he goes on and says, he said, I'm of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. And then he says this. He says, look, don't worship me. Even though the glory that's in me makes you want to worship me. Don't worship me. I'm actually like you. And then he says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, this is where it really gets good. The testimony of Jesus, the word testimony there means to give judicial witness. So the testimony of Jesus is what Jesus is presently testifying in the courts of heaven. See, you need to understand that Jesus occupies the highest place in the courts of heaven other than judge, which is high priest. That is the highest office in the courts of heaven other than God, the judge. So Jesus, in his position that he has won and been granted by his absolute obedience to the Father, is in the position of high priest in the courts of heaven. And from that position, he is testifying things into the courts of heaven, because it speaks of the testimony of Jesus. Okay, it's the testimony of Jesus. What he's speaking, what he's saying. Let me put it this way. Peter calls it the present truth. Okay, watch what's about to happen. Whatever the testimony of Jesus is, that he is releasing into the courts, because that's what you do in court is you testify, becomes a spirit of prophecy in the mouth of the church. So that the church can prophesy in agreement with what Jesus is testifying. Why do we need that? Because the standard of God is this: only by the mouth of two or three witnesses can a verdict be rendered. God said in Deuteronomy a couple of times, and also in 2 Corinthians 13, that only in the mouth of two or three witnesses could every word be established, and if you will, would give God the legal right to render a verdict from the courts of heaven. See, even though it's Jesus giving the testimony, it's still only one. God, by his own standards, has to have at least two, three, or more corroborating witnesses that grants him the legal right to render verdicts. So what's his answer to this? Whatever Jesus is testifying becomes a spirit of prophecy so that we as the church can prophesy in agreement with his testimony. So when we prophesy, we're not just giving information here, we're releasing testimony there. Amen. Are you getting this? Now, what that means is that I believe our prophetic release needs to go up into new dimensions so that we can prophesy in agreement with what Jesus is testifying. Whether it's in an individual's life or it's over a nation. That we literally can release that level of prophetic. Now, with that background, let's go to Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, and what we have here is God increasing the ability of John to prophesy. How many of you would like to get a new level of prophetic unction and movement going in your life? I say I do. I want new dimensions. I want new levels. Now, I'll tell you what, I wanted to bring this in. Keep your place there in Revelation 10. But let me show you, first of all, before we go there, let me show you Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 15. We're seeing a revelation of Jesus in his glorified state, in his ascended placement in heaven, and it gives great descriptions of who he is and what he's doing and the clothes he has on and all this. But it says in verse 15, his feet was like fine brass, as if refined in the furnace, and his voice is like the sound of many waters. How many of that's the prophetic? See, his voice is like the sound of many waters. And we understand that whatever Jesus is presently there, we are here. That's what it says in 1 John. It says that we are as he is. So what I want you to watch, he said his voice is like the sound of many waters. So he's describing something about the prophetic that functions through his people. Okay, watch. I used to think the voice sound of many waters, that means a rushing river or some kind of a stream. I mean, that makes a sound. That's what, you know, when you think about the sound of many waters, that's what I think. There's waters running and it makes a sound, until I looked the word up. The word waters there is not river or stream or anything like that. It actually means rain. That his voice is as the sound of much rain. I'm just letting that sink in. His voice is as the sound of much rain. You see, the difference between a river and rain is rain changes atmospheres. Rain alters atmospheres. You see, this is what I want you to hear. The voice of the Lord, the prophetic release of God, doesn't just release information, it changes atmospheres. It changes atmospheres. That when we prophesy out of the unction and the level that God wants us to prophesy, there should not just be right words being released. There should be a rearranging of the heavenly realm that alters atmospheres. Because that's what rain does. It doesn't just water the earth. It cleanses atmospheres. Amen? Now, I've had this happen a little bit. I have prophesied sometimes where at the moment I began to prophesy, the atmosphere changed. And then I've had times where I prophesied and nothing changed. I was in a meeting with Peter Wagner, and he was ordaining his the first people he'd ever ordained out of EVAT, which is Eagle Vision Apostolic Team that I've been honored to be a part of. And so he's ordaining two guys, and the rest of us are there. So he invites us all up to pray over him, prophesy over him after he's laid hands on them and ordained them. So all the people that are who's up there, and they're prophesying, and it's good words. And all of a sudden, I feel this unction come. And I think, wow, I don't want to go up there with these people. Man, I could start calling names. These are the who's in the prophetic movement, many of them. And I'm like, oh, I'm not a prophet. I don't want to prophesy. But I knew it was God. So I stepped up, and to my amazement and everyone else's, the moment I began to prophesy, the atmosphere changed and the glory of God came into the room. I was like, wow, that's pretty good. I mean, I went back to my seat and sat down. I thought, well, I can sit here and enjoy this one all day long. And so that night I went to the group I was leading that I had going there in Colorado Springs, and I started telling them about it. Well, there was this lady there that decided she didn't like me very much. And so she called and demanded to have a meeting with Peter Wagner to tell him everything I was doing wrong. And I told Peter, I said, I don't want to meet with her. If she doesn't like the way I do things, let her go find someplace else to go. And Peter's words were, as a father, Robert, you need to meet with her. Well, because I believe if you're going to be submitted to somebody, you're submitted to somebody. So I said, okay. So we set up the meeting. Sure enough, when she comes in. Now, before this started happening, I'd had a dream about her, and I'd seen her with a stack of papers that were accusations against me. God is my witness. When she walked in the room, she came with her stack of papers, literally. Literally. So she comes in, and she asked permission to read from her stack of papers. And Peter said, sure, go ahead and read your issues. So she starts reading, and I got to tell you, it was all I could do to sit there. I was like, only because Peter and Doris Wagner were there did I behave myself. So they're reading, she's reading through her list of complaints and accusations. And as she's reading through it, this is literally, she said it this way, and he said, that's what she said, he said that he was in a meeting with you, and when they all prophesied, it was fine, but when he prophesied, the glory of God came into the room. And Peter looked at her and he said, and it did. And I thought, well, I can just sit back and enjoy this one. I'm not saying that to impress you with me, because like I said earlier, I've done it where the glory of God has come. I've done it when ain't nothing come. So I'm not trying to impress you with anything. I'm trying to make a point that we need to move into a prophetic realm where that when we prophesy, we don't just give information. We actually release an authority that changes atmospheres. Let me show you a scripture in connection to that, and then we're going to go back to Revelation 10. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. David is speaking of those who carry authority. And I love this particular scripture that David cites or that David speaks of. 2 Samuel 23. I'm going to find it right quick. That's why I'm not telling you the verse yet. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 4. Or verse 3. The God of Israel said, this is what David said. The rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord, and he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises. So watch, he's talking about someone who's carrying authority. A morning without clouds, like the tender grass springing out of the earth. Watch this last little phrase, by clear shining after the rain. Notice what he's saying. He's saying that when someone operates in authority, that it literally causes there to be a cleansing of the atmosphere, so that there's a clear shining that occurs like after the rain. I explain it this way. We had two sons that lived up in Seattle, Washington, and were involved in ministry there. Now they're back in Texas, but they lived in Seattle, Washington, so my wife would go and I would go up there periodically to visit them. Well, when we would go up there, of course, it's raining. And we actually thought about moving up there until we visited up there, and when we got out of the car, there was moss growing on the curb. And my wife said, I ain't moving here. Because we were in Colorado Springs where there's 300 days of sunshine, and all of a sudden we were in Seattle, Washington where there's 300 days of rain. And Mary said, I'm not going here. And I said, that's fine. I mean, we weren't really seriously considering it, but, you know, just idea to think about. But this is what we discovered. Out of all the places in America where there are allergens and where people have allergies, Seattle, Washington has the less allergens of any other place in the nation because of how much it rains. That the rain is so much there that it keeps the atmosphere clean of the allergens that cause allergic reactions in people. So if you suffer from allergies, one of the best places to live is Seattle, Washington. Why? Because there's a clear shining after the rain. You need to understand, this is what the prophetic should do. Amen. That we should be able to prophesy on such a level that not only do we release information, we actually release an authority that cleanses the atmospheres of, if you will, demonic pollution. So that it's free, it's clear. Watch this. People don't have to fight with stuff that other places might have to fight with. Do you understand? God would want the church in Phoenix to prophesy on such a level that the atmosphere becomes so clean that there is not the battles in the atmosphere here that there might be other places. Because that's the level. His voice is like the sound of many waters. So the prophetic word released in authority can actually accomplish that. Amen? Amen. Now, back to Revelation 10, and this is what we're going to deal with tonight. Revelation chapter 10, and I love this. We're going to start in verse 8, but let me just refer to the verses previous to that, which is a huge angel. John is seeing a huge angel with 1 foot on the land, the earth, and 1 foot on the sea. It's not the sea like we would think of. It's the sea of glass. So 1 foot is in the earth, and the other foot is in heaven, because that's where the sea of glass is. So by that, God is saying, I'm connecting heaven and earth. I'm connecting heaven and earth. How many of you know that's God's intent for heaven and earth to be joined? You can read in the book of Ephesians, the purpose of God is to join heaven and earth back together. And I might as well just say something here I've been thinking about for a long time, but I've never said. Some people have a difficult time with the great cloud of witnesses like I just described. But you got to understand something, guys. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:23 that we have come to a number of things, one of them which is the spirit of just men made perfect. That is a reference to the great cloud of witnesses. And people say, you're not supposed to encounter the dead. They're dead. They're in heaven. You're not supposed to talk to them. And I want to say for the record, I've never talked to any of them. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe the cross changed everything. And I believe that the cross rent the veil so that heaven and earth can be joined back together. And what might not have been allowed in the Old Testament, before the cross changed in the New Testament when there was a rending of the veil that allowed heaven and earth to be connected again. So there are times people do encounter the great cloud of witnesses. They do encounter people that are in heaven, not on a harp or on a cloud playing a harp, but I believe, even like we saw in Revelation 19:10, us having assignments from God. That maybe they're allowed to do things that sometimes we think angels are doing, but they're actually being assigned to the spirits of just men who have been made perfect, that the Bible says they haven't come to us, we have come to them. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm a Bible guy. So there's an angel with 1 foot on the land and 1 foot on the sea of glass, which is heaven. He's connecting them. Because guys, and I need to say this, God wants to join heaven and earth back together. And please hear what I'm about to say. About had it. Now, listen, I'm a very fundamental kind of guy. But I really, really, really get a little bit irritated by people that want to dismiss something because it's mystical. Guys, read your Bible. It's pretty mystical. It's pretty mystical. I mean, just read the book of Revelation and the encounters that John's having. It's pretty doggone mystical. See, I'm like, okay, if I've got to be so fundamental that I can't enjoy spiritual experiences that I need to empower me, then I don't even know if I want to do this. That's what my wife says. She said, if it's what everybody else says, well, let's just quit and go do something else. Hey, man, I need some supernatural mixed into my life to make life worth living. How about you? Now, I don't want to get weird, and I don't want to get off track, and I don't want to get foolish and get deceived, but I do want to have everything God wants me to have. I do want to move into some of those realms. And not just excuse myself from them. So there's an angel with 1 foot on the land, 1 foot on the sea of glass, if you will, which is heaven. And as he's standing there, he has a little book in his hand. Okay, let's start there. He has a little book in his hand. And in verse 8 of Revelation 10, it says, "Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." Notice that the purpose for him eating the book was to be able to prophesy about nations. Nation? Well, let's listen to what he's going to be able to prophesy about. This book, when he eats it, is going to empower him to prophesy about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. We could say just about nations. What we would consider nations, that John is being empowered to prophesy about nations from this encounter he is having with this huge angel and this little book. This is an empowerment for the prophetic. Are you following me? So sometimes the way God empowers the prophetic is by allowing you to eat a book in the spirit realm. And we're going to talk about this here. Again, that's pretty doggone mystical. Eat a book? What are you talking about? He said that we eat a book, eat a scroll, which empowers us, watch this, to prophesy about, not to, about. Why? Because about speaks of giving testimony in the courts of heaven about a nation's destiny. He's not prophesying to nations. He's not trying to tell them their destiny. He's seeking to prophesy from a book that literally allows him to present a case into the courts that are in agreement with what Jesus is testifying. Because that's what prophecy does. See, you got to understand, prophecy presents cases from the books of heaven. What better way to present cases from the books of heaven? I'm going too fast. Daniel 7:10. The court was open, or the court was seated, and the books were open. Because cases are going to be presented out of these open books into the courts. The destiny written in books is going to be presented in court through prophets being able to prophesy what's in the books and present cases into the courts. That's why John's eating this book, because he's prophesying about nations, not to nations. He is releasing prophetic words into the court, which is the actual presenting of cases, which, if you will hear this, causes court to come to order and come into session. Have you ever been in a court? Watch what happens. Someone stands up on this side and says, we're going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond a reasonable doubt, these issues. The moment they present the case, court has come to order and the session has begun. The defense, which is where the devil is going to stand up and say, but they can't have that because I have a case against them that's going to stop you from being able to legally grant that to them. But the whole way the courts began is through a presentation of a case. See, we present the case when we prophesy from the books into the court. The court comes to order, and God's operation in the courts begins to work. Are you getting that? So prophecy starts everything. Now, maybe it's a prophecy, maybe it's a prayer from a prophetic realm, maybe it's a decree, but the bottom line is everything starts from a prophetic word coming out of books. Now, what better way to prophesy from books than to have somebody eat the book? So that they're filled with the book. They're filled with the revelation. They're filled with the understanding. And they're able to prophesy from it. Are you getting this? So that's what's going on here with John. This angel, whose passion is to join heaven and earth together, the will of heaven being done on in nations of the earth, there's a book he has in his hand. Now, I really wondered about something. I thought, why is this book little? If it's the book that has nations' destinies in it, why is it little? Because it says it's a little book. And then I felt the Lord spoke to me out of Isaiah 40. He said, the nations are but a drop in the bucket before me. We think it should be a great big book. God says, the nations, I love the nations, but they're but a drop in the bucket before me. So in this little book is contained the destiny of nations that needs to be prophesied for the operation of court to come. So we need to be able to prophesy on the level that is necessary for this to happen. So I'm going to give you just basically four things here, and that's all we're going to do for the rest of our time, on how to go to the next levels in the prophetic. Number one. We need to ask for the books. Revelation 10:9. I mean, the angel wants John to have the book. If he wants him to have the book, my thing is, why don't you just give him the book? Because John needs to ask him. He said, I went to the angel and I said, give me the little book. There's something about asking. We think, oh, it's the sovereignty of God. Whatever God wants me to have, he'll give it to me. No, guys, he actually creates desires in our hearts because we need to ask. He says, you have not because you ask not. We need to ask for the book. What do I mean by that? I mean, there are books. You got to hear this. There are books in heaven about everything. There are books in heaven about our personal destinies. We've talked about that a lot. But there are also books about cities, about states, about nations. There are books about churches. There are books about businesses. Anything that has a kingdom destiny, there's a book in heaven about it. You need to understand that there's books that God's looking for some people to ask for. Number one, you need to all ask for your book. Because it exists in heaven. The Bible says it was written in a book. Your destinies were written in a book before time again. You need to ask for that book. But you also need to ask for the book of your family line. You also need to ask for the book, if you're called to lead a church, the book of that church. Everything has a book. We're having that conference I told you about. Down in Texas, February 25th, 26th, and 27th, on No More Delay, Unlocking Destinies from the Courts of Heaven. A lady that I respect very highly the other day, she said, "Have you asked the Lord for the book of that conference yet?" And I thought, huh. No. Didn't even think about it. But when she said it, I thought, that's right. If this thing has kingdom purpose, there's a book in heaven about it. And it's actually going to be one of our speakers, Beverly Watkins from South Africa. I said, no, but I'll get right on that. Because, see, in that book is the intentions of God for that gathering. Because if it has a kingdom purpose, there is a book in heaven about it. Are you getting this? Well, Rob's getting it. Everybody else is still thinking about it. There's a book in anything that has a kingdom destiny. There's a book in heaven about it. So here's the deal. Whatever book belongs to you, you need to ask for that book. We're going to do that before we're through. Because if you don't ask for your book, you're not going to be able to know your destiny or the destiny of what you're commissioned to lead. You need the book. Okay. We need people to have the books of cities, states, and nations. But to get those books, you got to have the jurisdiction for cities, states, and nations. Not anybody can just have those books. You need jurisdiction, that is your measurement of rule, apostolically and prophetically, to have an influence into that dimension. Then you can ask for those books and get them. Does that make sense to you? But there are books in heaven waiting on someone to ask for them. I was in Chuck's place in Glory of Zion. They were hosting a meeting. And I was teaching on the courts of heaven. And this lady named Sandy Newman that leads for Chuck and others. Well, not just, yeah, she's connected with Chuck. But for HAPN and different things. She leads, her and Deanne Ward lead Kansas. So let me tell you a real quick story. So I'm walking out of a lunch thing where all the leaders are having a lunch, and I'm trying to go find some place to hide and rest before I have to go again. And as I'm sneaking out of the room, I hear this voice behind me, "Robert, Robert!" And I recognize the voice immediately. Now, I like Sandy, so it really wasn't a big deal. So I stopped, and Sandy came up to me, and she said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." She said, "Now, before I ask you this, you need to understand, I don't see anything." She said, I hear some things sometimes and I know some things, but I'm not a prophet and I'm not a seer. She said, but whatever the prophets and seers tell me to do, I do that. I apostolically administrate it, which is good. I understand that. She said, but something happened to me the other morning. She said, I was laying in bed when I woke up and suddenly I heard voices. She said, literal voices. And I realized I was hearing voices in heaven. She said, that's never happened to me. I'm hearing literal voices in heaven. And she said, and they're talking about me. And the discussion is whether I should be invited in to that place, into the council room of the Lord. She said, what do you think that means? I said, I think it's good. I said, I think it's the courts of heaven, the counsel of God. She said, that's what I thought. So we talk for a little while, and we go on. That night, I stand up to start my last message of the conference, just like I'm doing here. I stand up to start my last message. And I mean, I had no more than got a few sentences out. And up jumps Sandy and Deanne, her compadre. And they come running forward at me, interrupting my message. Now, you got to understand, it seemed as normal as could be. That's really strange. Listen, you know you've been absorbed into the prophetic when that seems normal. Because here they come running at me, and I just stop. And Deanne starts putting her finger in my chest, prophesying to me. And about the fourth time she hits me, my feet come up off the floor, and I find myself sitting on the floor. And Sandy is standing there behind me saying, Robert, I'm there. I'm seeing it. It's all there. I said, where? She said, I'm seeing into the courts of heaven. I mean, she's got her eyes wide open and everything. She said, I am seeing into the courts of heaven. Now, this is the woman that never had experienced this. And she said, and there's an angel here. She says it about like that. And there's an angel here that's got a silver tray. And on it is a scroll. And he wants to give it to you. It's the next revelation concerning the courts of heaven. And I thought, wow. I got an angel with a scroll. So I said, I think I'll take it. So I received. I said, Lord, I received this scroll. She said, he gave it to you. And so I knew the scroll was given, but watch this. My whole point of that story was I had to ask for it. Even though he was there wanting to give it to me, I had to ask for it. You see, you gotta ask for the books. You gotta ask for the revelation. You gotta ask for that which contains destiny for you, and for that which concerns you, and for that which you're in charge of, and you have jurisdiction of. So here's my word. Quit being bashful and start asking. Yes. Quit being timid and start asking. There are angelic powers that want to give us stuff because we're not going to get anything done until we have the books. Amen. That we possess and even eat so that we can begin to function from those realms. Amen? I could tell you some other stories about the counsel of God, but we're going to move on. Number one, we ask for the books. Number two, notice that this book is open. That this angel had a little book that was opened. Why is that important? Because closed books, nothing happens from closed books. Let me put it that way. Remember, before I go in this, remember Revelation 5, there's a book sealed with seven seals. Now, you need to understand that the whole book of Revelation is about courtroom operation. The whole book of Revelation is about courtroom operation. It's about judgments coming out of the throne, verdicts being rendered that eventually grant God the legal right to reclaim the earth back to himself. So in Revelation 5, John is weeping because there's a book that's sealed. And he is crying over this sealed book. And an angel says, don't weep, John, for the lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed to open the book. And John turns to see the lion, but instead sees a lamb that was slain. Why? Because the governmental roar of the lion always comes out of the brokenness of the lamb. So he sees this. He says, don't weep. The lion has prevailed. Well, wait. So the finished works of the cross, watch this, mixed with the tears of John, opened that book. I'm letting that sink in. Why was John crying? Because the court cannot operate as long as the book is closed. The book has to be open so there can be cases presented from the book that allows the operation of the court. You find this in Daniel 7:10. The court is seated and the books are open. Because it takes open books. Here's the deal. What opens books? Your tears. My tears. This is what I tell people. We need intercessors in Arizona. We need intercessors to weep before the Lord until books start opening. Because until books open, there can be no courtroom activity. If there is no courtroom activity, there can be no kingdom rule that begins to come to the earth. So we need open books. So we need some intercessors to be before the Lord. I'm an intercessor. I weep. I'm not telling you got to weep or do what I do, but I weep. I've always been a crier. It's kind of like Billy Bob Thornton in the Alamo. When Santa Ana was about to have his head cut off, he said, I want to warm you. I'm a screamer. Well, I want to warn you, I'm a crier. The presence of the Lord comes, I'm going to start weeping. But when I discovered that it's tears that open books, I thought, I'm not restraining these tears anymore. If this is necessary to open books so the courtroom can operate, then Lord, let me feel your passion. We need intercessors to weep between the porch and the altar for books to be opened. Because listen to me, we're not going to get anything done in the courts until books open, because it takes open books. So we ask for the book. Number two, the book is open. We need to get the books open. Let me give you one little secret here. You ever, and don't answer me, I'm just making a point, a rhetorical question. Because if you answer me, you're going to get embarrassed, so don't answer me. Have you ever been in a meeting where everybody gets prophesied to, but you don't? I'm like, and you get mad about it almost? Like, dadgummit. I paid my fee just like everybody else did. Where's my prophecy? I paid my registration. I did everything everybody else did. Let me explain something to you. Prophets can only prophesy from open books. And if yours is closed, they can't say anything to you. It's not their fault, it's yours. You haven't paid the price to get your book open yet. When you get your book open, I promise you, every prophet will prophesy to you. Because they'll come to you and they'll just start seeing stuff in Revelation because your book's open. But if your book isn't open, if you haven't wept before the Lord, if you haven't been passionate enough before the Lord, then I promise you, listen, I prophesy to people. Sometimes I just stir it up on the inside. I like to do it. I'm getting to where I like it more and more. But sometimes I come to somebody and I'm not getting anything. I just try to be nice. Because I can feel them wanting a word. But there's nothing coming. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like there's nothing coming. I'm thinking, I wish I had something. But now I know why so often. I mean, maybe it's just the Lord saying, no, for this season, I want you alone to hear me. So that's possible. But sometimes it's because the book's not open. The book's just not open. And so it doesn't matter how hard you try. If it's still sealed, you're not going to be able to pick up any revelation concerning that person. Now, prophets will tell you this is true. I was sharing this with a prophet friend. He said, I need you to come to my church. He said, literally, I have people get mad at me because I didn't give them a word when everybody else was getting the word. And I explained to this that you can only prophesy from open books. And he said, you need to come tell my people this. I said, I'd be glad to. So we need to get our books open. And we need to eat the open book. Number three, we're almost done. We eat the book. We eat the book. He said, eat the book. It'll be sweet in your mouth. It'll be sweet as honey. Well, clearly what God's saying is to John, when you eat the book concerning nations, it's going to be a good word. I want you to know God's prophesying good words today. Amen. I promise you, God's prophesying good words. As far as destinies that are written in books, he's prophesying good words. He's saying to people, thus says the Lord, I have a good destiny for you. I know the thoughts I think about you, thoughts of good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. God's prophesying good words. It's sweet in the mouth. When you start talking about prophesying destinies, I have watched people get prophesied to that I knew were messed up. And God would still give them a good word. I'm like, what in the world is going on with this? I brought a prophet into the house in Waco once. His name is Roger Till. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him. Roger is like an Old Testament style prophet. Seriously. Old Testament style prophet. He's a prophet of judgment. He's about 65, 66 years old, maybe older than that now. Got a long bony finger. He's Brit. He's got beady eyes. 6'3". He's very intimidating. I saw him in just a group of pastors, and I watched him give words to these guys I knew. He was reading their mail. Some of them didn't like it. I loved it. I thought, wow, this is the kind of guy I want to come prophesy to my church. He'll fix it. It'll either be fixed or it won't exist anymore. One of the two. So I lined him up to come. Now, before he came, I told the church, I said, now, this is what I need for you to understand. This guy is like an Old Testament style prophet, and we just need to get ourselves ready. We need to be prepared because he's going to come, and I can't guarantee you what he's going to do. I can tell you what I saw him do, but it's going to be good. It'll be okay. So I literally spent a couple of weeks getting them ready by telling them during announcement time, this is he's coming, da-da-da-da-da. So the day comes when he comes. I mean, you could not have kept them away from it. They came in fear and trembling. The curiosity was greater than the fear. As he comes for the first time. So I've told them he's a prophet of judgment. He's an Old Testament style prophet. So he stands up when I invite him. And he starts speaking. And he starts weeping. And he says to people, he would pull his coat out, come get under the prophet's coat. And I'm thinking, this man has made me a liar. He's supposed to be prophesying judgment, not the love of God. What in the heck is happening here? I thought, God is so good. So I thought, well, it was really good. I said, I'll just have him back again. So I had him back in about a month or so. He comes back in. This time it was different. He looked at my youth pastor. He said, you have a computer? Yes, sir. What are you doing on that computer? My work. I see. That's all he said. The youth pastor's wife moved away to another position. They divorced because he had a $20,000 bill in porn when it all became uncovered. He looked at another guy. He said, you committed to this guy? Talking about me? Was one of my pastors in one of our churches out from the church? He said, yeah. He said, I mean, he would literally look you up and down. I see. Within a couple of months, he broke away doing his own thing. I mean, he was just reading things like a book. He looked at me. Now, I'm the guy. I'm not just the pastor. I'm the apostle. I'm the guy leading the whole thing. He looked at me, literally in front of the people. Looked me up one side, down the other, just like this. You're clean. I'm like, woo! Thank the Lord. I mean, I'm like, oh, I mean, I'm sitting there praying, Lord, I've repented of this, I repent of this, I repent of this. My point was, I watched him prophesy things to people, something like I just said, but many times, good words, sweet words, precious words, because you begin to realize this is who God is. He prophesies our destiny. And it really set me free in the prophetic. I thought, I don't have to go around picking out everybody's mess. I just want to speak the word of life into people. Because that's the heart of God, even over nations. Okay, so it says that the word of God is sweet once you eat the book. Okay, the last one. I'm sorry? Eat the book is sweet. Number four, last one. It says that this book that had been sweet becomes bitter in the stomach. And I really thought, what is that? Bitter in the stomach, what does that mean? And the Lord, I felt, spoke to me. Because, I mean, I was thinking, okay, digest, and that which was sweet is going to really become bad, whatever. I was trying to figure it out. And the Lord said, no. He said, when something becomes bitter in your stomach, that means you're nauseated and you're about to vomit. It speaks of the unction that the word creates down deep inside. Because I don't know about you, but I don't get sick very often. And my wife would tell you that if I vomit, I'm almost at death. I'm not trying to be gross or anything. Because that means that literally I'm no longer in control. Something inside of me is in control. You need to understand that's the level and the strength of unction that God wants to create within us to prophesy from. Amos said, the Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? In other words, it's impossible to hold it in. Now, I know the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet and all that, but there is a level and a strength of unction that can become so powerful that when that prophetic word comes forth, listen to what I'm about to say, it literally can shift nations. That's not just prophetic words and, okay, let me figure this out. No, there's an atmospheric change, not just over a room, but over a city. An atmospheric change over a state, an atmospheric change over a nation, because we are releasing a prophetic word that not only is releasing testimony in agreement with Jesus in heaven, but it is releasing something that is changing atmospheres so that God's will can be done in the earth. I say, Lord, bring that kind of unction. That kind of unction. So that when the prophetic word is released, things must line up with that word. I say God's going to bring a new dimension. Let me give you the fifth one. For us to come into this is what's happening. According to Zechariah chapter 4, there are angels being released to awaken us to new prophetic abilities. Zechariah said that an angel came. He's a bona fide prophet, already functioning as a prophet. That an angel of the Lord came and awakened him as a man awakened out of sleep. And all of a sudden, he started seeing things he hadn't been seeing before. I am declaring there are angelic powers that have been released from heaven that is awakening the body of Christ to new dimensions of the prophetic. As I said earlier today, if you have been prophesying, God wants to take you to new dimensions of prophetic. If you've never prophesied, God wants to take you to new dimensions of the prophetic. God wants to enlarge as He is releasing awakening angels. I'll share this and then I'll be finished. I was in Hawaii. Good things happen in Hawaii. So I was in Hawaii, and I'm at a friend's church. And I'm speaking in the church, and worship's actually going on. And he wants me to speak on first fruits. I do that. Used to do a lot of it, not as much anymore. But speaking on first fruits. And he wanted me to teach there, this principle. So worship's going on. And as worship's going on, I start picking up that God wants to bring a new dimension of the prophetic. And what I just shared out of Zechariah 4. But I know I'm supposed to, I got to teach on first fruits. So I thought, okay, whenever he invites me up, I'm going to share this just briefly. So he does invite me up out of worship, and I just want to share something before I go into first fruits. And I started sharing it, and all of a sudden, God is my witness, all of a sudden, the atmosphere of the room changed because that angel walked in. I knew. I didn't see him, but I knew he was there. That the angel I was prophesying, the awakening angel of awakening prophetic abilities to new, prophetic abilities to new dimensions, I knew he had come into the room. And I looked at Greg, my friend, that is a prophet, that leads the work. I looked at him and I said, he's here. He said, yeah, he's standing behind you. I said, he doesn't have a sword, does he? Because I knew he was in the room. Everybody knew he was in the room. And so I said, we need to receive of this new prophetic ability. And all of a sudden, we just began to minister and unlock that into people. This happens fairly often. Occasionally, I was in my own meeting in Dallas. I brought a lady in to help train seer gifts because I love the prophetic. I love it. I love the real deal. And I brought her in from South Africa. She's going to be at the conference again to train. She's phenomenal at training on seeing into the courts of heaven. And so we had a little worship. I came up out of worship, and I suddenly sensed that angel there again. I said, this angel, I explained it to him just like, and I said, he's here right now. He said, he's just come right now. And a seer gift from Canada, young man that I'd met, that I'd really gained a measure of confidence in, I said, what are you seeing? He said, yeah, he's here. I see him. He said, I see a hole opened in the wall. It's like a portal. And he said, God's inviting people in to that portal. He said, but what I sense is some people have limits on them of how far they can go into that portal. Others can just go full bore into it. But some have limits, and it's connected to the wounds they're carrying. Do you know prophets with wounds are deadly people? You don't want a prophet with a wound. I promise you. So God wants to heal the wounds so we can step into the fullness of the increase of the prophetic. Amen? Let's stand up. I had fun tonight. I'm sorry. here's the deal. I'm really not apologizing. So I want to go to a new, listen, I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to be a prophet. That's not my call. I am prophetic. I mean, I love the idea of I am a prophetic apostle. Some are apostolic prophets. I'm a prophetic apostle. I am prophetic, but my main gifting is apostolic. Okay, and I've turned somewhat into a teacher somehow or another out of revelation. But I'm a prophetic apostle. But I just want to say this to you. I have a guy, Robin K. know him, a couple named Alan and Becky Greenstreet. They're in Virginia. They're part of our network. And Becky's just like an unbelievable seer. And Alan, though, he leads worship, does a really good job, but he moved prophetically, but not, you know, a whole lot. He said when I laid hands on him, just apostolically, he said something unlocked in him. He's having open visions of the Lord where that he'll be with the Lord for 30 minutes more in an open vision, the Lord showing him things and him asking the Lord questions and the Lord answering him. I'm like, what? Pray for me. What in the heck? How did you get that from me? I don't get this. It was just about being connected to the apostolic. That's really what it was about. Because I've never experienced anything like that. I would love to. I mean, it's just not my gifting. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that God does things really strange sometimes. He lets you unlock things in people that you know yourself don't even walk in. Isn't that amazing? So how many of you want to go to a new level into the prophetic so that we can step into the courts of heaven and see God's will done? Amen? So, Father, we just go ahead, guys. Thank y'all. We just want to say to you, we love you with all of our heart. I do love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of being your servant, Lord. You could have chosen anybody. I wouldn't have chosen me. You can say like Gideon, I'm the least of my house. You could have chosen anybody, Lord, but you chose us. You empowered us. Out of your kindness, out of your graciousness, you did this, Lord. And Lord, we want to say before you, based on the word that has been declared, we want new dimensions of the prophetic. We want to move into the new places that you have for us. I would like to do something if I could, if it's okay. I would like to pray for those that are functioning prophetically. Apostolically, which I know I got this role right here. Okay. And pray for you, not because you need me to pray for you, but then we release the people to come and we just start releasing to them. Can we do it that way? Okay. So who else? Okay. Is that okay for me just to pray? I'm just going to, just out of obedience. So stretch your hands toward these, because all these guys function. Most of them function in a prophetic realm that I don't function in. So, you know, I'm going to pray for them, and then we're going to release the increase, because this is what I hear the Lord saying. This is a night of increase. This is a night of increase. Lord, we just say this is a night of increase. So, Father, I just, out of obedience to you, I just release this function, Lord, even this angelic empowerment, Lord, Father, even into new dimensions of the prophetic, so that our sensitivity, our awareness, oh God, our place in you is seen. Father, we just want to thank you for this. I just declare this in the name of Jesus. New levels of the anointing, new levels of the prophetic anointing of God released into them, Father, released into them, Jesus. Thank you for it. Thank you for the new levels, the new dimensions, the new dimensions, the new levels. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill with the Spirit of the living God. Lord, I just release them. Lord, new dimensions, new dimensions, new dimensions. New dimensions over them. And Rob, before I just do this, I want to say I break off of you every limitation put on you by false prophetic words. I break those boundaries off and I loose you into the purpose and the destiny that God has ordained for you. Fill with the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. I release you, Father. I release you. New fullness of the Spirit. Fullness of the Spirit. New dimensions. New awakenings into the Spirit realm. Doing new things. New things. New things, Lord. Stretch your hands toward them. We bless you. We bless you. New dimensions of the prophetic. Of the prophetic in Jesus' name. New dimensions of the prophetic. New dimensions of the prophetic. New dimensions. New dimensions of the prophetic of God. Hushababaya, fire of God. New dimensions of the prophetic of the Lord. Ilamamasuturiaka. Awakening angel, come forth and awaken us into new places, oh God. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You got something? Yeah, just pray for people. How are we going to do it? Yeah, I think so.
Hallelujah. Those that have just received prayer, if you're able to stand. Give us a few moments to recover.
All right.
Just receive.
Yes.
Just receive. Just receive. Hallelujah. Just let them soak. Okay, they're getting something. All right, just let them soak. We're gonna lay hands. This team that just received, come on up, and we're gonna turn around.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen. Good idea. Good idea.
How many of you heard about a fire tunnel?
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's amen. A real good idea.
Okay. I want to release a word over this congregation before we come. So I want you to raise up your hands and receive. And then we're going to run you through the tunnel. You're not going to run. You're going to walk. But we're going to pray. We're going to lay hands as you walk through the tunnel. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release the prophetic anointing, oh God, that you're releasing out of glory this evening, oh God.
Hallelujah.
We release the spirit of prophecy, oh God, over your people in the name of Jesus. Let your words come forth out of heaven, oh God. Let the books of heaven, oh God,
yes,
come down,
yes,
out of glory. I see the scrolls of heaven coming down. Each one of you have a book. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Receive the scroll from heaven. Eat the scroll. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord, for falling scrolls out of glory. Now ask for the scroll. Ask for it.
Yes,
ask for the scroll.
Yes, oh God.
Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for my scroll.
Yes, I ask for my scroll, oh God.
I receive my scroll.
Receive my
and I
scroll.
Eat my scroll.
I eat my scroll.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we receive your scroll. We eat it.
Yes.
And we pray right now, oh God, that the words on that scroll,
yes,
would be burned in our spirits, written on our hearts, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we release from heaven, oh God, the spirit of revelation.
Yes.
Let eyes be opened. Let them receive from heaven, oh God, that which is written upon their scroll. Let that revelation, let eyes be open, ears be open.
Yes.
Ears be open, eyes be open. Now some of you are going to begin to receive visions from heaven. You're going to start, words that have been spoken over your life are going to be awakened in your spirits. God's going to bring to remembrance that which has been prophesied over you. In the name of Jesus, let that word burn in the heart, oh God. In the name of Jesus, awaken the gift of prophecy. Father, I pray, oh God, as they come through this tunnel, the words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of prophecy be released from heaven, oh God. Be stirred in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.